I believe that God is talking to every man from his bed. Let's get our attention, neighbor, as we travel along the journey. God's been talking all down through the swinging sanctuary of the back. Ever since there's been a man on the planet earth, God has talked to that man. God was talking even before there was a man, or before there was a world, because he lived in the deathless age, beyond the gates of the morning. All those ages were just bits of foam on the mighty seas of eternity. God was speaking way back then. And then I was reminded of something else. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, the Bible declares that the Spirit speaketh, expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And on it goes. And then the Bible tells us seven times over in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. Seven times over, he said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. There may be a question in your mind tonight. What is the Spirit saying? I believe the Spirit saying what God said. I believe the Spirit is saying what the Word says. I believe the Holy Spirit tonight is speaking to men through the Word of God. I was reminded on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, when they were assembled together in that upper room. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. Or a little further, he tells us that there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitudes came together and they were confounded, because they heard all of these Galileans speaking in their own language wherein they were born. And then he listed about 16 different dialects. He said they were Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea, in Cappadocia and in Pontus and in Asia, in Phrygia and in Pamphylia, in parts of Libya about Cyrene. There were some strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes. And verse 11 said, there were some Greeks and Arabians. And they said, we hear them speaking our own tongue. What were they saying? All of them were speaking in tongues. But the Bible tells us what they were saying in verse 11. They heard them in their own tongues. They were talking about the wonderful words of God. And they were highly persuaded that anybody that speaks under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost is going to talk about the wonderful words of God.
Hallelujah.
I feel good already. I am starting. Hallelujah. And I believe that if you hear a message in tongues and interpretation, and if that interpretation is contradictory to anything you read in this book, you can mark it down. There is some human error there somewhere, because when the Spirit speaks, it will be in harmony with what this book has to say. What in John chapter 16 and verse number 13 tells us, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. The next verse says, he will glorify me. And they rightfully, that's our vision. That's our responsibility to glorify Jesus in everything. in Jerusalem time, in Deuteronomy chapter number 5, Antiochus chapter the book of Deuteronomy, Moses presses upon Israel the fact that they had heard from God. We heard his voice out of the fire. We have two tables of stone on which are written with the finger of God. And then Cain comes down to verse number 24, and he said, we have seen this day that God doth talk with man. And here am I, kind of like that. We have seen this day that God doth talk with man. And here am I, praise God. You have your Bibles tonight, like you turn with me. Turn to the 34th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. The second law. I use this portion of scripture one time. About 8.5 years ago, at a convention in 1970 over Denver. Any of you were there tonight and heard me preach along this line? 8.5 years ago, he was there. We'll say something different, almost so remember anyway. This is a direction I believe that the Lord would have us go. Praise God. Because it talks to us, regardless of who we are tonight, if you're walking every step of the way as you should walk, it's still a solemn note of warning, because this occasion and story has to do with one of the greatest men that ever walked on planet Earth, one of the most meek men that ever walked on planet Earth. It was said over 50 times of Moses that he did that which the Lord commanded him on. But he didn't do that in his story. Got him into trouble, that's what he did. Chapter 34 of the book of Deuteronomy and verse number 4. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab, according to the word of the Lord. But to call your attention tonight to verse 5. It's very good. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab, according to the word of the Lord. I would like to use this basis of our few remarks tonight and talk to you from the bottom of the subject of dying in Moab. Dying in Moab. Now, it's not the fact that he died, but where he died is the thing that I would like to place the emphasis upon tonight. You know this story well. How did Moses? He was carried to the mountains of Nebo. The kids just walked behind. It was my privilege a few years ago to stand on Mount Nebo, somewhere in the area where Moses stood many swinging centuries ago, and looked across the Jordan Valley, looked across the north end of the Dead Sea, looked across that Jordan Vale and the Jordan River, and situated in the background where the hills of old Judea. And that's where the Lord took Moses. He took him up to the summits of Mount Nebo, and he said, Moses, look over yonder, across the river. Look over across that valley, Moses, and there is that land that I promised to Abraham. There's the land that I promised to Isaac and unto Jacob, saying, I will give this unto thy seed. He said, Moses, there it is. I called you to see it with your eyes, but that's as far as you'll go, Moses. I called you to see it with your eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, he died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. I'd like for us to look at this man, Moses, Well, just a moment. A little bit of God said it was said in God's word over 50 times that Moses did that which the Lord commanded him. At least 18 times in your Bible, God calls Moses his servant. Moses, the servant of the Lord. And I believe that if there ever was a great man, Moses was a great man. He was born to godly parents that had faith in God. Before he was ever born on planet Earth, he had a mother and a dad that loved God and feared God and had faith in God. Well, the Bible tells me in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, and verse number 23, that by faith Moses, when he was born, within 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. Not only that, but Moses is listed in that place, Hall of Fame, in the 11th of the Hebrews, in verse number 24. It tells us that by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, and he endured as seeing him who is invisible. I want you to know, neighbor, the Bible said that he was faithful in all of his house, but Moses died in Moab, just a little bit short of destiny. Moab was not his destiny. Moab was not the place that God called him 40 years before. He said, Moses, I want you to lead my people over into the hills of Moab and die. Oh, no, that is not what God said to Moses. He said, I want you to lead this people into that land that is flowing with milk and honey. That was his destination. That was his mission. And neighbor, he almost fulfilled his mission. He almost accomplished what God had him to accomplish. But I want you to know, sir, because of one act of disobedience, he fell far from his desired destination and died. And God buried him in an unmarked grave in the hills of Moab, according to the word of God. Not the fact Moses died when in Moab, a little bit short of what he could. I'm not taking one thing from Moses, because the Bible said, I believe, he was one of the greatest men that ever walked on planet Earth. He was the lawful. They saw him on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17. I believe when you walk down the sandy bank from Sweet Deliverance, you'll see Moses because he'll be there. But I am persuaded tonight here, though he was faithful, though he was a great man, he died a little bit short of what he might have been. And I believe tonight that Moab is a place of broken plans and shattered dreams and blasted hopes. There are great of dead hopes in Moab. And neighbor, I believe this applies to every facet of our life. That applies to every facet of society today. There are graves in Moab. People missed it a little bit. They didn't reach their destination. They fell a little bit short of what they might have been. I like the words of that remind me, Lord. There's a song that asks a very pertinent question. Have I really done my best? Have I really done my best? Am I as far along this voyage of life, neighbor, as I could have been, or as I might have been, if somewhere back down the road I hadn't failed or missed it a little bit? I could have won others to God. I could have been a little bit farther down the road than I am tonight. And spiritually speaking, there are graves all over the hills of Moab, a little bit short of what God is doing. Now, this may not make it sound tonight, but it will if you'll somebody said it's better to have only the room than hit the fence. Then he just aimed the fence and hit the ground. And I believe I remember taking Brother Rogers then. He said, go ahead and reach for the moon. Even if you don't make it to stretch, we'll do you good. I believe tonight, as Moses died there in the hills of Moab, he could look over yonder in the distance, not too far, not so far of what he could see it. But neighbor, he was a little bit short of what he could have been. And if we reminisce a little bit tonight, dear God, how many could we call tonight? That if people had just hung in there,
yes,
and stayed true to God, but they died in more scorn. Thank God for what they did. I know some tonight. How do we could have done up here in John today? Turn the world upside down. If they'd have followed on, if they'd stayed faithful, if they had continued, but somehow they were like Moses of old, they failed and died spiritually in Moab, a little bit short of what they might have been. What did Moses fall? I'll guarantee you tonight, if any of us fall short of our goal, if any of us come a little bit short of our destination and accomplishing what God has called us to accomplish, you trace it back in where there's a reason somewhere. There's a cause back down there somewhere. There's a reason. You turn your Bibles to the book of Numbers, chapter number 20, and I'll show you why. I'll tell you what Moses did, the reason that he couldn't go on that few more miles across that river Jordan and into that land that was flowing with milk and honey. The Bible declares that the whole congregation of Israel were gathered together in the wilderness or in the desert of sin, Zion. The Bible tells us that there was no water for the people to drink. They begin to murmur and they begin to complain. This speaks to me of the privations of men, but also of the resources of God. They complained because there was no water to drink. They even made a statement, I believe it's in verse number 3, what if God I was dead? Wish we would die back there in Egypt. I'm sure they didn't really mean that. Or if somebody carried out their wishes or desires, I'm sure they would have changed their minds momentarily. But they complained because there was no water, and they began to sigh for Moses. They said, you brought us out here in the wilderness to die. And God spoke to Moses and said, Moses, take that rod of yours and gather the people together, and I want you to speak to the rock, Moses, and I'll cause the water to begin to flow out of that rock. And sure enough, Moses took his rod and he gathered the people together. He gathered them together around the rock. And they were unpersuaded that if there's a good place to gather people around, it is around 28. O thou big rock, where in the 61st Psalm in verse 2, David said, for from the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Then lead me to that rock that is higher than I, for thou hast been a shelter for me. I want you to know, neighbor, that in Isaiah 32 and verse 2, it said, of men shall be a hiding place from the wind, a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. There's water in that rock, neighbor. Hallelujah. There's honey in the rock, my brother. Hallelujah. There's healing in that rock. There's glory in that rock. Moses fell down in Exodus 33 when the Lord put him in the rock and allowed his glory to come by. There's glory, neighbor. He put me on the rock.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. That's not what I'm supposed to do. The rock. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I'm going to build my church on that rock. Hallelujah. It's a foundation of the stone. It's a foundation stone. There's salvation in that rock. In Acts chapter 4, verse 11, this is a stone that was set in off of the builder.
Yeah.
You talk about the plunder of the ages, neighbor, that was it. When those wise master builders laid aside that stone and tried to build without the rock, I want you to know, you'll never build anything without the rock.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Eventually that rock has just been
filled. Yes.
Read in Daniel chapter 2. Jesus himself said, if you'll fall on that rock, you'll be broken. But if you don't, that rock will fall on you, and it'll grind you to powder. Well, so much for the rock. He gathered the people again around the rock. Now, I do not know what happened to Moses. He had stood up before you. He had heard them complain. He had heard them murmur. He had borne up under the stress and the strain of pastoring 2.5 million people for almost 40 years. I don't know what happened to Moses that day, but something happened. Somebody must have said something that really didn't sit right with him. And the Bible said Moses got up and he said, look, you bunch of rebels, must we fix one of you out of the rock? I want you to know, neighbor, Moses couldn't have gotten water out of that rock any more than anybody else. God said, I'm going to give the water. You just to the rock. I don't know what it is, but he picked up that rock and he smoked that rock. And if that were not enough, he smote it twice. And maybe this was an overact of disobedience.
Yeah.
He could not have got any more contrary to what God said. God said, Moses, I don't think those words even redeem. They don't even sound right. Speak to the rock. Smite the rock. Strike the rock. Hit the rock. Moses didn't understand what it is for. He smoked that rock twice. You know, something thrills my soul. Even though many times, well, we may not have the right to do. We may not do exactly what God said to do. And our actions are contrary to what God said to do. God's going to bless his people. I say, God's going to bless his people. Hallelujah. We may disobey. We may not do what we're supposed to do. But God's going to feed his people. God's going to provide. Hallelujah. For his own. In that water. came and they drank and they split their cup. After they had all left, God said, Moses, Aaron, I have a little bit to say to you. Moses, he said, you failed today to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses, you will not get to go on over into that promised land. You will not leave this people over in the promised land. Here's the man that was said over 50 verse 8, just speak the word only. Hallelujah. And my servant will be healed. And the Bible says, servant was healed that same hour. And Jesus, what? That little hairy man as he walked away. And he said, I would see faith like this in all of Israel. Hallelujah. That man said, all I need is just the word of God. I believe that's all we
need.
Just the word of God. Hallelujah. I like to listen to Brother Rudolph. I don't hear him often. He comes on singing all that came and they were blessed. And he gave the weary and he caused the blind eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul and made the wounded whole. By the waters of the Spirit of God. On what I believe when we speak the word, something's going to happen. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When we speak the word only, neighbor, God will make bare his arm and confirm his word. What sign? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just speak the word only. I'm sorry, but I'm just glad of there tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Speak the word only. Hallelujah. Just speak the word. That's our responsibility tonight. God's created power in the word. Hallelujah. In John 1:1, he said, in the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him, and without him there was not anything made that was made. Oh, hallelujah. May God believe he created this universe.
Yes,
not with dirt and clay and sand and grass and wood, but he simply said, let there be, and let there walk. Hallelujah. There's creating power in that word.
Amen.
Hallelujah. In Hebrews 11:3, the Bible says, through faith we understand that the world was framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of those things which do appear. Oh, hallelujah. Not only did he create this universe, somebody said, perhaps beyond the universe there's a more. Well, I don't know. Well, I'll tell you one thing. If there is a multiverse beyond this universe, he made that universe. Hallelujah. All that point tells me in Hebrews 1:1. God lived sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. But he hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he hath made the world. Who being the brightness of his glory, are a flood of resplendent light, and the express image of his person, and listen with an air call. Proverbs 3, it said, he upholdeth all things by the word. Hallelujah. Of his power, the power in the word. Hallelujah. The power in the word. No wonder he's in Moses. That's all. Just talk to him. That's all he needs to do. You know what? Hallelujah. Then I better come back and continue. Get back on the beaten path. Hallelujah. not like you. That word is important. Hallelujah. But crazy power. I'm going to get that same crap of work on it. There's salvation in this word. The word tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Being born is when you've got to be born. How are we born if you're born again? Not by corruptible sin, but incorruptible. By the word of God, which liveth in the body of Christ. The Lord tells us in that parable of the sower going forth to sow, he said, the world, the field is the world, and the seed is the world. I want you to know, neighbor, you can prophesy your God's word down into an unregenerate heart, into a heart that is black as he of thousand midnight. There's germinating power, there's life in that seed. Hallelujah! It'll germinate, it'll spring up into everlasting life.
Oh,
hallelujah! There's salvation in that word. There's healing in that word. Glory to God. Thank God for the word. But Moses, God said, you cannot go on over into that promised land because you failed to sanctify. In the eyes of the children of Israel, they came a little short of what you might have been. I did not have the time to tell you that. There's a verse in 50. In the book of Proverbs 27, verse number 8, it says, a bird wanders from her nest, so he dreams of wandering from her nest. Then he all down through the trees to the path. All right, what the book said in Acts 2 and 38. How did God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power? He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil for God to do. The way that reads in your reason, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he went about making things good. Now, he didn't make beautiful things. That would be an act of creation. But he made things. He took them as he found them. Marred and scarred, tattered and polluted. He took them like he found them. And made something beautiful. Hallelujah. I like that song. He made something beautiful out of my life. He went about making things. Over that, what God wants to do now.
Yeah.
Bring man back to his pocket. Man got left for the everlasting life. I may mention to someone before the service tonight, there are some good things in bad things. Proverbs 11, 23 says, as a jewel of gold and wine. Now that's not a very good place for a jewel of gold. The Jews had a statement. They said a pig's nose or a swine's nose walking it. Maybe they have some. So there are some good things when we're in that place. And that's what God did. Finding those good things and bringing out of those bad places and making something beautiful out of life. I'd like to call your attention just real quick when I'm coming in from anything. You'll remember I've been in the case. A man that was called, a man that God went on. Next week, senior visit. David did a lot of great things in his life. He was a great man. But I believe David never really came off. Jerry Lee left his dreams behind. When days were all well stricken, years he wanted more than anything in them. But the old house for God. That was a crying soul. God let me build a house for you. God said, no, David, you cannot build a house for me. You have been a man of war, a man of bloodshed. Some seem to believe it was because of the sin they committed with Bathsheba. I want you to know, not taking one thing away from David, he never really and fully and completely became everything that he might have been. And he stayed true to God and hadn't failed somewhere down the road. I want to call your attention to one more young woman in God's Word. By the name of Samson. It was said of Samson perhaps more than anyone else in the Old Testament history that the Spirit of the Lord came upon. In fact, two or three places it said the Spirit of the Lord came mightily. In the book of Judges, when it went down to the fingers of him, and a young lion blew out of him. Watching an old toothless and crushed lion enter the dead skin of his face. He sent a young lion with all his strength out of him. He roared out of his face. The Bible says that for Satan, the Spirit of the Lord came finally upon Satan. He took that lion and with him as he would give. And I like that little footnote that said he had nothing in his hand. Hallelujah. You don't need anything in your hand, neighbor, if the Spirit comes right away. Hallelujah. But even though the Spirit moved, the Spirit came mightily upon him. He started dating the wrong verse. Got his hair cut in the wrong way. Neighbor, I want you to know, he shall hold the secret of his heart. That was the constant plea. Hell me. Where are you? Your grace is. Why don't you want to know the truth? When you hold the secret of his heart, his hair was clean, though it's 7 months. The Philistines came in and they bound him. They put him down in prison, and there he was, with his eyes punched out, crying at the moon. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that was the will of God? Do you think that was God's plan for this man? We know that Samson was also listening to the Hall of Fame. He was 11, verse 32. What shall I want to say? Time of the only king. A few men were they right here at Samson. And the fifth day they had all gone to Samson. He prepares it. He's given them to go back. He became the prophets coming out of the line. Quench the lives of five. He's going to get the sword out of it. He's going to make strong. He's going to have to turn a black yarn to the enemy. And he maintained his integrity in God. There is absolutely no telling what that man could have done. My heart bleeds tonight when I look and I see and I hear of those that have been a great blessing, those that have depopulated hell and bygone days and turned me to righteousness, to see them how to turn out of the way they were and not reach that goal that God has laid out for them. God, you know, just a little bit. And our life was to turn that life. And that's how it's been.
Now, I swear, I see you. Dear God, have I done all that you want me to do? Am I as far advanced tonight along this journey of life without seeking? I thank God tonight for all of those that have really supported me. Praise God, I do. Thank God, I really want to be worthy of Thomas for one generation, so praise I work still more. I can say it was a problem, and I want to know my generation again. You praise me for all down through the generation. God has raised up. God has raised up me. I believe that God has raised up from spiritual giants in this world. Over this community. He's faithful to God. Don't let anything sidetrack you. Don't get your eyes on anything that would cause you to deviate from that path that God has laid out before you. There are souls at stake tonight, Abraham. The kingdom of heaven is at stake tonight. God, move on. God, stir up. Let me feel it is stirred. That we can see souls that are brought down into eternity. Forever be separated and annihilated from God. Let us be like that little woman in the Franco-Prussian War when the German soldiers were marching into the city of Paris. It was said that the people improvised them weapons they got whatever they could to fight off that opposing army. It was said that there was a little grandmother that came rushing out. All she had was a broom in her hand, but she was waving that broom. She came out against that oncoming army, and they tried to get that new woman to lay that broom down. What a foolish stunt that is! That little woman just kept on waving that broom and said, I want them to know which side I'm on. Hallelujah! Then we need to let the world know which side. Moses, the servant of the Lord, died very
much
according to the word. Tonight, you know, the people I'm pleased to be able to hear. And I believe that's the one of the God's God's talking to all of our hearts tonight. Heaven is really in our way. Have we fulfilled heaven with God as called us to do? Or have we kind of laid out our terms to God in us? Let me do this, or let me do something else. God's looking for those nothing. They're always
rules
every step.
All the way.
Moses down. Mary Moses. He looked across that way. And he stopped the land. Looked over that. He said, Rome. That's the leadership. He never became one of them, too. Now we can have our hands around, as opposed, cross the thousand feet. That's more than who we are in that name. Moses was a servant of God. And I believe there was a lot of people in that field, but servants of God. But I'm asking you a question. What I'm making your heart tonight, you feel it. If you've got all of God,
You fulfill God's commission for the life of a little child. If you haven't, I will still be tonight. If you really need to do it, you'll slip up your hand and say, "Well, it's fine." I feel like I've come a little short tonight of what I might have been. I feel like I might have taken you to cry my heart tonight. He said, "Well, God, you haven't done it." You slip up your hand right now and say, "Yes. God, what you do, you do." Yes, I would have failed with him tonight, but I've never been with you. Tell you, God, what you do tonight. Tell you, don't die, Lord. Don't stop the work of what God wants you to do. It doesn't make any more stuff out of it. It won't make any difference. If God's called, you know him to do a certain thing. There is no excuse. God doesn't ask us to do anything unreasonable. Father, I will do a church. Father, I will do there will be a reason tonight when I'm with you. Yes, I feel like that I've come a little short tonight. Spiritually speaking, I'm skimming over. And I should go over to you. Oh, there's a trouble in things tonight. God knows I won't be. Can we go? Shall we stand together now? Everybody's praying. Hands of all promises, all of us going to get tonight. Without a further delay, I want to follow them. Get out of the aisles near the nearest tonight. Musician continues to play. I might put together around these altars. This is God's mercy. I might call to God tonight, like out of the rhythms of our heart. Let's pledge ourselves afresh in the name of God tonight and believe God the minister to every soul in this building. Hallelujah, God. You never let a single step has been taken. And the gates for that still here, and the beautiful songs of the angels blow out on our experience. We have a responsibility tonight. We have an obligation before God tonight. Oh, did you mean, oh God? God, I don't want to die and go to hell. God, I want to go on until I fulfill my obligation, Lord. I don't know, God. That last battle is too tough. Oh, Spirit of God tonight. God, thank you for that spirit. I thank you, Lord, for the way you're ministering for that whole time. I pray that you will be the whole thing. Get into our hearts right now. God, stir our souls. Stir our souls, God, right now. I believe you're stirring somebody up. You're speaking, Lord, with somebody out of your heart. By the Spirit of God, Lord, you're speaking to some soul, Lord, right now. God in the heart. Oh, hallelujah, God. You said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you a round life." You said, "The race is not for the swift, nor the battle for the strong, but the time of death." My God, I pray tonight that you would probe me, Lord, in our hearts. Probe me, put into our lives tonight, O God. Help us in our lives, Lord. Help our battles to be fought. Help victories to be won. My God, there is yet land to be possessed. We must continue. Oh, God. God, I believe you right now, minister. I believe you, Lord. Holy Spirit of God, Holy Spirit of God, Holy Spirit of God, Holy Spirit of God. God, our soul cries. God, our soul cries. God, our soul cries. God, help us. Help us, Lord, to be faithful. To be faithful unto Him.
You said it got even in Europe. God, our soul cries. God, our soul cries.